The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. Hope you're having a wonderful Tuesday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. So occasionally we have special guests who have great stories, and Mike Lee is no exception. Our special guest today is going to tell us about his struggles with Lordship Salvation and what he thought about free grace early on. Dr. Bob Wilkin is going to talk to Mike Lee. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Bob Wilkin, and I'm here with my guest, Mike Lee. We introduced Mike last time, and this time we're going to be talking about, Mike, your church involvement. We forgot to mention, by the way, your wife, Letitia. She's an optometrist, and she's actually on the board. She joined the board of Grace Evangelical Society in January, so we're appreciative of Letitia as well. And she's been a strong free grace proponent since you came to faith in Christ, right?
Yeah, basically, I've really known Letitia all my Christian life here. She's always been there at all these very integral moments, as I guess we'll soon discover.
And we mentioned it last time, but you read the book Absolutely Free by Zane Hodges.
Right.
And you didn't know him from Adam.
No, but I did know that his book was on clearance at Christian book distributors. And, you know, I'd heard that Charles Stanley borrowed a lot of his arguments, eternal security. So, you know, being the poor college student, it was Charles Stanley's book at $9.95 or Zane Hodges' book, which was the source of Charles Stanley's material, at $4.95. So that was a no-brainer for me, you know, spend $4.95.
So you read the book. It clicked with a lot of things you were going through in your church, right?
Right. I guess the reason I even read it was the Lordship issue had come up in my church. John MacArthur had become very popular.
I think our listeners are familiar with Lordship Salvation,
sure.
But what kind of things were you hearing in the church?
Yeah, I was hearing things like, well, if you don't have this in your life or if you're not growing, you need to doubt whether you're saved. And, you know, John MacArthur was becoming a very popular teacher among my contemporaries at this church. And so, you know, people were like, oh, have you read John MacArthur this? Have you listened to John MacArthur that? But then we'd hear other things where it was like, well, you know, there's a, you know, issue with John MacArthur and the gospel. It's like, well, how can someone be so well regarded if they're off on such an essential issue? But ultimately, it's like, if you had asked me at that point in time, what is Lordship Salvation? I didn't know what it was. But I said, well, but if I'm wrong in the gospel, I better figure this out, because what can be more essential on this?
In other words, if Lordship Salvation was correct,
right,
you were willing to say, okay, if that's true,
yeah,
I need to be convinced from Scripture.
Right.
And so that led you to read Absolutely Free. Did you also read The Gospel According to Jesus by John MacArthur?
Right. I read him first, and then I read Absolutely Free second.
And okay, after you read Absolutely Free, did you think that this made more sense of the Scriptures than The Gospel According to Jesus?
Yeah, it was a, wow, I could see where, look, Romans 10:9-10. You know, Zane is pointing to passage and explaining from the words of the passage what this means, and, you know, clearing up various misconceptions I had of various passages. You know, I think I had kind of done the sort of like easy way cop out. Oh, we can explain a lot of these passages by just saying these people didn't really believe. But then if you look at the words of the passage, they never really exactly say it that way. You know, it's just kind of a cheap interpretive trick to kind of get away with some problems.
Right.
But, you know, after reading Absolutely Free, he's like, no, this is so clear. Salvation is only simply by believing in Jesus for it. And no, you do not need to make a surrender your life, but commitment to serve Jesus as master in order to be saved. Those are clearly works. And
so was this kind of difficult for you? Because here you're in a church that you came to faith in Christ through, and in right. fact, the person who led you to faith in Christ was still in the church, right?
Right. By this time, he had actually risen to the point of he was now going to be an associate pastor at this church. He was no longer just a high school counselor, but he was an associate pastor at this church.
And so this was kind of a crisis for you. It's like, do I stay in this church? Do I go? What do I do?
Right, right. Yeah, even at that point, was after reading Absolutely Free, it's kind of like, okay, no, Lordship Salvation is wrong, but is this really a big deal that I need to make a fuss about, you know? I think for me, what was key on that is like, is Lordship Salvation a saving message? If someone makes a commitment to surrender, to serve Christ as master, are they saved? Absolutely Free didn't directly address that question, but I noticed in Absolutely Free there was an address, P.O. Box address in there. So I said, well, you know, this question is really bothering me because it really impacts of what am I going to do about this? Is this something that we're all together, you know, we all essentially have the same message, it's no big deal? Or is this something that strikes at the heart of, or whether people even come to, you know, salvation? And so at that point, as I saw this address, I decided to write Zane a letter with precisely this question.
So you actually wrote, and this was what, like 92 or something?
This was, yeah, 92. If you actually want to see a copy of Zane's response, we have it in the Grace and Focus magazine.
Okay, yeah, so yeah. You can go to faithalone.org and just look up, is it under your name, Mike Lee?
Yeah, I think if you do a search under Mike Lee, you'll find it.
All right.
Yeah. And so, you know, I decided to write Zane a letter. If someone believes in Lordship salvation, are they, you know, saved? Because my initial conclusion was, you know, I don't think so, because they're not believing Jesus for salvation. They're believing in their own surrender, their
right.
own commitment. This conclusion bothers me, you know, because this is bad. You know,
right.
we don't just have just some sort of like minor controversy going on here. This is bad what's going on at our church, that people are propagating this. You know, but, you know, when I wrote Zane, I never really expected an answer.
Right.
You know,
I'm
going, you know, this is a person who's taught at Dallas Seminary for 27 years, published by Zondervan, Moody Press.
And he wrote you back?
Yep. 2 weeks later, I got a letter back in the mail.
Was it handwritten or typed?
It was typed, but it was a real signature. You know, I looked. I was like, oh, you know, maybe it's a, you know, nope, but it was real signature. And it wasn't a dear friend letter. It was, dear Mr. Lee, you know, I believe you've come to exactly the right conclusion on, you know, Lordship salvation. You know, of course, if someone has ever believed in Jesus only for salvation, that person is saved, or believe in Jesus for eternal life, that person is saved no matter what they believe today. But, you know, if that person has never just believed in Jesus for eternal life, but has always felt that they needed to work or surrender their life to Christ, that is in the biblical gospel, it can't save anyone.
Right. Right.
But as a result of that, I was like, oh, you know, he confirmed my worst fears that, you know, this is a non-saving message. We have a big problem at our church.
Well,
now.
So then what happens? I mean, did you actually talk to the people that were leading the church?
Yeah, we ended up meeting with the senior pastor, and also I had many sessions with the associate pastor who, you know, had led me to Christ.
Right.
The senior pastor gave us an initial response that, oh, this is really, you know, you guys are all saying the same thing. It's no big deal. I'll just tell these guys to tone down their manner. I was like, you know, I don't have any problems with their manner. I have the problem with the message, you know, is what they're saying is incorrect. I think my meetings with the associate pastor, we kept going round and round. You know, I was like, this isn't what you told me when you led me to Christ. This is completely different,
right.
You know. But eventually we got to the point where I had one of the guy was actually my discipleship group leader with me, and now the associate pastor.
Right.
And, you know, the questions I asked is like, okay, well, does someone need to be willing to give up one's sins in addition to trusting Christ in order to be saved?
Right.
And my discipleship group said yes. And I said, okay, well, in addition to, does one need to be willing to make Jesus as master and of one's life in addition to trusting Christ for salvation in order to be saved? Again, he said yes.
Wow.
And then the associate pastor, he turned around and said, I have no problems with what's been said here. And I said, well, okay. At that point, I said, you know, I can't be at a church where this is unclear, but I really, you know, this place will always have good memories for me, and I want
right.
to thank you for that, and, you know, gave him a hug, and, you know, that was when I
wow.
left the church. And, you know, Letitia was actually there for those meetings, too. And
you
know,
weren't married yet.
But we weren't married, but, you know, I remember I were discussing in the car, and, you know, she had decided to leave the church, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
So where'd you go? I mean, did we find another church close by?
You know, we called around. You know, this is back in the days. I looked in the phone book. You know, I didn't really know
much. This was before the internet.
Yeah, this is.
Or there was, I guess, a little internet in 92.
Yeah, yeah, I think theoretically, but not in terms of, you know, there was no GS Church Tracker in those days.
Right.
So
probably not much with Google or anything else.
Right, right. And so, yeah, I think I remember calling one church in the phone book. It's like, I try to ask those same three questions. It's like, okay, well, does one need to be willing to give up one's sins in order to be in order trusting Christ for salvation? Oh, absolutely. Okay, thank you. You know, I don't think we're going here, but yeah, we you know, I didn't really find a place. But a year later, I left to go to Boston, so I need to look for a church now in Boston, not in San Francisco.
And were you able to find one in Boston?
Yes. I found a church there in Boston. It was pastored by a former Dallas Seminary graduate, and you know, and he was
somebody probably that had been influenced by Zane Hodges.
You know, I think he maybe took baby Greek from Zane at one point, but yeah, you know, he was, you know, at least on the message itself, he was clear.
Okay. That led you, because of free grace issues, you left the church not out of any spite or anything else. It was just you weren't comfortable being in a church and supporting a church that was proclaiming a false gospel,
right.
essentially a gospel that was far from clear. Let's
right.
put it that way.
Yeah, no, I love that church. You know, that's where I wanted to go.
Right.
You know, my friend group was there. But, you know, and it was, you know, I always appreciate that church for giving me a clear message. And, you know, so that's where I wanted to be. But yeah, I just couldn't be at a place where, you know, it was not clear. And it was somewhat interesting because leading up to that point, I guess we kept having conversations with the associate pastor. And at some point during those conversations, I was eventually able to speak with Zane directly.
Ah, so you spoke on the phone.
Spoke on the phone. And I remember on one of those phone calls, he had said, you know, Mike, I think you might have to leave this church. And I remember telling Zane, like, I really don't want to leave this church because this is where I found the Lord.
Right.
And, you know, but, you know, sure enough, it's like a few months later, it became clear that this was an acceptable position at the church. And I go, you know, I just can't be there for that.
Now, did you believe in the doctrine of rewards at this point?
No. And my first exposure to the doctrine of rewards was, you know, Grace and Eclipse. I think what I've been taught at that church was, but everyone maybe gets a crown, but you all toss it back. And,
yeah,
you know, everyone's, you know, I kind of had the conception that everyone's the same. So,
right.
So, you know, Zane's Grace and Eclipse was another eye opener for me to, you know, on the doctrine of rewards.
And when you read that, did you stop and think, what happened to me when I had to leave this church was, in a sense, suffering for the Lord?
Yeah, you know, now that you put it that way, I guess, you know, I think about it. You know, those early years, I guess it was, you know, primary motivation was like, was assurance.
Right.
It was like, wow, Jesus gave me eternal life. I know I have it. So I'm not doing these things to get assurance, but it's because I'm assured. That's why I want to go to church. I
want
to be a discipleship group leader. I want to, you know, serve. And so for many years, it was the assurance. But with Grace and Eclipse, I was like, whoa, there's so many passages. You know, the Lord doesn't just want to give us eternal life. He wants to make it better. He wants to give, you know, he wants to reward us for so many of these efforts. It's like, this is so wonderful. What a wonderful, you know, what a gracious and loving Heavenly Father we have who wants
Amen.
To do all these things. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right, well, next time we'll talk about how there's deja vu because you ended up moving to Dallas and going to Zane Hodges' Plymouth Brethren Church, the local assembly he was a part of, and you had a kind of a deja vu experience there, but we'll, and I did too, of course, because we were in the same church. So we'll talk about it in the next episode. Keep Grace in Focus.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to learn more from Dr. Bob and the other guests that we have on this show? If so, you can do exactly that by going to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. It's packed with all kinds of materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. A great example is our daily blog posts. You can get signed up for free, and every day a new post will show up in your inbox. Go to faithalone.org. This radio show is made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. If you'd like to become a financial partner with this show, you can go to faithalone.org and find out exactly how to do just that. Do you have a question for Bob? I know that I've often had questions for him. If you do, I want to give you our email address so that you can reach out to us to ask that burning question. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's episode, we're going to continue with Mike Lee's story, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.